And here we are with part two of our 2020 predictions. I've got Martin with me. I've still got Chris with me. At least I hope I've got you guys with me. You still there?
Oh, we're here. We're here. Yeah.
Yes. Excellent. Brilliant. Right. So, okay. So last time we talked about systems and media, and I'd like us to move on and talk now about solutions.
Everybody wants to talk about solutions, Chris.
Of course they do, because that's all you want to buy. You don't want to buy. Nobody needs a server if it isn't part of a solution. So when I say solutions, you might not really think they're solutions. But the first one I want to touch on is cloud native storage. Seems to have become a term this year at KubeCon. There is a cloud native storage day, I think, now. We're seeing lots and lots of storage solutions in this area. It just strikes me that we just seem to have a huge amount that are trying to reinvent the storage industry.
Mr. Miller, you are out in the States on your press junket. So what did you see in the way of startups? Did you see a lot of cloud native storage startups, or is it still early days?
We saw a lot about cloud native applications. VMware talked a lot about Project Pacific and its cloud native activities around Kubernetes. Portworks talked about its facilities providing storage for containerized services. Minio was talking about containerized services for its object storage. Cloud native storage over there, cloud native systems are alive and kicking and growing very strongly.
Do we need so many though? I mean, there's Rook, which drives Ceph, and as you said, Portworx, and we've got Storage OS in the UK / the US. It seems like there's a lot of solutions trying to effectively solve the same problem.
Well, it seems to show that nobody's got a solution yet, Chris. Nobody quite knows how it's all going to hang together yet.
Maybe the easy thing, the easy switch to the industry is to just do whatever VMware does and do your cloud native stuff underneath a VMware umbrella.
Yeah, I'm not sure I really buy that, because on the one hand, if I'm deploying on something that's meant to be cloud native and independent, I might want to deploy this in the public cloud. I might want to deploy it on VMware. I might want to put it on something completely different. So I don't want to think that my storage component is tied to VMware in any way whatsoever. And I want to make sure that whatever metadata is associated with the data that is connected to my application, that I can identify that data in the future. So I think in the short term, that might give people some benefit. But I think in the long term, I think that's a bit of a sticking plaster over an actual problem.
I can't see any reason why, in the long term, the main storage system suppliers shouldn't be the ones providing cloud-native storage rather than new startups. I can't envisage a cloud-native storage startup growing to the same state as a Nutanix or Pure Storage. I just don't see it at the moment. Perhaps you see it differently, Martin.
I don't know, but Pure Storage, Nutanix, 3PAR, these are all startups at one point, and they're now not exactly household names, but certainly enterprise names we all know and love or don't love. I'd expect it. But if we go back to Flash, we saw lots of startups at that time. You would argue, do we need so many? Well, obviously we didn't, because most of them have fallen down by the wayside. Go back further to the birth of the shared storage array. There were lots of companies around at that time. Did we need so many? No, lots failed, got bought up, consolidation. I think that's just what we're seeing again. I think it's interesting that cloud native storage has come so late. It was containers came along and, well, containers are cool. And then various people started to ask a question like, hang on, what happens if our data persists? Because everybody thought container workloads are all about transient workloads. Well, transient workloads are useful, but they're not that useful, because all your value often is in the data. So and now people are trying to work out, well, how do I make data persist? How do I make it persist in a standard way? How can I move this data around clusters if I've got many thousands of containers spread across thousands of servers? How do I make sure if I spin up a container on that server, it can see the data which is related to that application? It's probably a complex problem for them to solve. That's why we've got so many people giving it a go at the moment.
So think about the early 1980s, certainly in the UK, and this was going to be the comparison I made, Martin, but I think you've already done it. But my comparison would be that we had a lot of startup companies like Sinclair with the Spectrum and the ZX81, etc. You know, Dragon Computing, Acorn. There was even a company called Apricot, wasn't there? There was a whole host of companies that were building their own architectures for home computing devices or devices they thought might turn into something else. And then pretty quickly, IBM sort of grabbed that market and we consolidated onto an architecture that stayed fairly consistent since then, although it has had a few component changes. So I think all of that noise and everything that went on in the background allowed us to understand what we wanted, I guess, and the best of things came out into a solution that we ended up adopting. Maybe that's exactly what we're doing, as you just said, again.
Yeah, I think so. I think we often see this in the early days. We've seen it, yeah, I say, not just in storage. As you say, if you look at going back into the UK in the home computer market, and even in the States, we're probably not as comfortable with the States, we've seen many companies come and go. We've seen attempts to consolidate. I don't know if you remember the MSX Foundation, when they tried to consolidate a standard across various systems. That didn't work because everybody wanted to make their stuff look a little bit different. IBM with the PC ended up, PC clones kind of happened by mistake, but that ended up, that mistake had built an industry and meant that we ended up with a consolidation across the piece. And we've seen it in databases. We've seen it all over the place.
Okay, so let's not worry about it then. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, every now and then you just go through and the moment it's interesting because there are so many cloud native storage companies, companies which you think, I've never heard of them before. I've just found one called Robin. I've never heard about it before. Have a quick look at the website. Website's quite flash. We've obviously got some investment. Perhaps SoftBank can invest in them instead of investing in failed pizza delivery companies.
Yeah, that is possible. You never know. You never know. Okay, any thoughts, Chris, before we wrap that one up?
I figure that the best thing for end users to do at the moment with cloud native storage is to wait and see, unless they have a pressing application that needs sorting out at the moment. Because the general thing that's likely to happen is that the major vendors will buy up technology suppliers that they think are worthwhile and will start supplying cloud native storage themselves.
Yeah.
And I think possibly the safest bet an end user could make at the moment, if they're really into risk avoidance, is just go with VMware. Go with Dell Technologies. It's bound to have something.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on and talk about object storage then, because this is another area where I find this one really fascinating in the sense that SwiftStack recently said that they were going to narrow down their focus on a particular area. You talked about, you called them MinIO, I'm going to call them MinIO, whatever, who are coming in trying to grab that market. There's a huge number of object storage vendors, a few of which, you know, two or three that are really at the top of that market, and a lot of others that are trying to sort of get in there too. And it strikes me that object is rife for a bit of rationalization at some point.
I think it's already happened to some extent, Chris. SwiftStack moving to AI is an acknowledgement by SwiftStack that they're not going to make it as a general object storage supplier. They have to have a particular market focus and have object storage technology tuned to that particular market so they can make progress in it. I think there are question marks over Scality and Cloudian and what happens to them. All the main players have got object storage capabilities in-house now, except possibly HPE, and the market seems to have split. The enterprise people have object storage with file access protocols on top, and they're doing their thing. And then there's MinIO, ignored by many, many people, not least IDC and others, and they've got hundreds of thousands of systems, their open source systems out there in the market being used, and their high performance systems as well. So I think MinIO storage is going to come up from underneath and give everybody else a really hard problem.
Isn't that the one that's being used by VMware in vSphere?
Yes, it's being used as part of VMware's Project Pacific, if the slide that VMware put out is to be believed. Right.
Yeah, that's an interesting development. I mean, you've got a big finger in the object world, Martin, I guess, but you probably want to stay out of this conversation.
I do. I will say that, I mean, personally, I've had a play with MinIO, however we're going to pronounce it. I really like it.
We should just try and find, we need to find as many different ways of pronouncing it as possible. So,
my Neo
or something like that. My Neo
is hurting, I feel. Have to go and stretch my legs.
Yep.
They look really good. They look really interesting, certainly from a system which our listeners might want to go and play with and actually learn a bit more about how S3, how you interact with S3. But they're getting some traction. I was just looking at their website. They're claiming 499 contributors to their open source project. that's not bad for something which is like this. If you look, compare it to some things which in the Scality world, I don't think Scality or anything like that contributors. I actually haven't looked at stats and see how active their contributors they are. And then, of course, they point out they've got 298.9 million Docker pools.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
About about 3 million of them are me because I can't be bothered to download the actual image more than, you know, and save it.
That's what I was going to say.
Re-download it the next time I want to.
Yeah.
And how many stars have they got? They've got like 50 billion GitHub stars.
They've got 19,700. So yeah, they're doing pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Oh well. So let's keep an eye on the object storage market then, because it'll be interesting to see where it develops. Something's going to happen in the next 12 months. It's got to change because SwiftStack have obviously made a move. There's got to be something else come along. And at the moment, everybody's focusing on the benefits of companies like Hitachi Vantara because they've got object store with features. And I think that is probably more attractive to the enterprise when you can build in things like workflow and other sort of things with it.
Yes. I think NetApp are doing the same kind of thing with Storage Grid. Storage Grid seems to be getting far more prominence these days than it did a year ago.
It's certainly getting some prominence because it somehow managed to jump into one of the vendors' Magic Quadrant Tangles presentations, didn't it? Quite highly from what I remember. So it's obviously getting prominence somehow. No comment on that one.
No, I'm not sure. I don't see it. And for everybody, it's all about, we said it's all about having an S3 compatibility because people want the ability to put whatever code they run, they want to be able to run it on-premises if they have an on-premises cloud, but they want the ability to move it into AWS or wherever they possibly can.
Unless you're Microsoft. I don't think Microsoft want S3 compatibility, do they?
Yeah, but then again, I thought they themselves may have done some work with MinIO themselves because MinIO allows you to give that gateway so you can stick it in front of your blob. Actually, you can do it with Zenko as well. Obviously, you can stick things in front to get it to pretend to be something to allow you to move things around. Yeah, Microsoft would obviously love you just to develop against Azure blobs, but realistically, you're not going to, because that really is a lock-in, because nobody's writing gateways for the Azure stuff, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. Absolutely. What else can we think of that's got such an awful lock-in like Azure blobs?
Anything to do with Oracle.
Yeah, true. Probably some of the GCP functionality. That's probably got some really interesting lock-in that nobody else uses. Probably some bits on there that...
That's the problem with the three big clouds, though. We know that. Amazon and Microsoft and Google spend their lives producing new functionality, which the other ones don't have, or implementing in a slightly different way, so that you lock yourself in. But I think there's been a lot of discussion about locking. You're going to lock yourself in somewhere. VMware are hoping, but VMware especially, but people keep talking about being locked into VMware. I've come round with that. It's not such a bad thing. They've done a good job with it. If you want to do something, VMware generally are a good place to do it.
Yeah, they seem to be okay as a company, VMware. They seem to have been quite successful.
Well, relatively successful.
Yeah, not doing too badly, are they? Made a few quid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, right. Chris, I'm going to drag you to the front of this conversation as we move on to talk about vendors. Remember, we talked a little while back about the mid-range platforms and what was coming up in terms of mid-range.next. Now, we should have been expecting something. Just as a little spoiler alert, which is not really a spoiler alert, the Dell EMC presentations at Storage Field Day, which is coming up in about 2 weeks' time, doesn't have anything officially related to mid-range. So they're certainly not planning to announce it there as far as I'm aware. So what's happening?
I find that astonishing. Jeff Clark has said again and again and again that mid-range.next will be announced before the end of January. If they don't use Storage Tech Field Day to do this, then they're nuts. They're missing an enormous opportunity.
All bets off and all that sort of stuff. I'm only going on what I know. And what I know is that according to the presentation, there isn't a topic for that. It's Isilon, Power One, and something else. I can't remember what the other thing was. Some other thing. Those are the three things I think they're doing. So it's not to say they couldn't slip something in somewhere, but I don't think it's been scheduled. So we've got 3 weeks and counting until we hear officially that they've missed that date.
Whatever they're doing with Isilon, and I know what they're doing with Isilon, and whatever they're doing with Power One, if they're going to stick something else into that presentation, it's going to be a bloody long presentation.
Oh, yeah. I think we've got like half of the day or almost the whole day at the Dell EMC. So, it's going to be a long presentation.
Okay.
Are we seeing the possibility of mid-range.next being delayed, being held back?
Maybe Unity's doing fine.
I'm surprised. If it was NetApp announcing a massive new hardware software implementation, or IBM announcing a massive new hardware software implementation in the mid-range, Eric Herzog will be in hyper hysteria mode, teasing people with a million tweets a day about this, and there'll be countdowns on an IBM website to the announcement date. And what's happening with Dell EMC? Nothing.
He'd probably have a shirt with it on, wouldn't he, as well, or something like that, or a jacket with it all.
Oh, heavens above, his shirt would have a countdown on it. It would be electronic. And Dell EMC are doing nothing. There's a void. It's remarkable.
Well, maybe nobody cares about mid-range. Maybe it's not that important.
Mid-range is dead.
Maybe it is important then. Maybe it's fairly important to Dell's business. But you know, in all seriousness, it sounds to me like there could well be a delay, unless, you know, it might well be that they schedule an event and all, you know, the last minute we all get told that there's something coming up and it gets announced.
Chris, I know what's going to happen. It's going to be about February, because Dell have brought Pivotal back in. Chad's back in the fold. Yes.
Yeah.
So, well, wait for a
oh my heavens,
50,000 word blog on the new storage platform.
And Chad's going to be on a motorbike jumping over the new storage platform like Evil Knievel.
Captain Canada is going to come in from a high wire. It's going to be Cirque Soleil.
I think we've just designed their presentation for them. This is now how they need to announce this, because if they don't do it this way, it's not going to be good enough. Oh, well. So we'll keep an eye on that one. End of the month, see what happens. Side question here. How long do we think the name EMC is going to stay in there? You know, could this mid-range be the product that drops the EMC moniker?
Almost certainly.
By the end of the year, probably Dell EMC will start fading away as an organizational brand. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I'm asking the question. I just don't, you know, it just seems to me that that's going to happen at some stage. I'm just wondering whether when you start bringing more and more products out, you can start to restructure those products to the point where you can eventually go, you know, we'll just drop that part of the name now because it's not relevant. So we've seen everything rebranded towards Power, haven't we, which can just then become Dell. Mm-hmm. So, you know, are there many more that need to be done apart from the mid-range product in order to do that? Isilon, maybe?
It's all going to be Dell Technologies. I mean, so that's all their signatures are changing. They'd be at emc.com. Email addresses still work, but it's generally all the emails come out is with always Dell addresses. So the EMC name is pretty much dead, and they are trying to mature it.
It's a brand flywheel that's running down.
Yeah, definitely.
Fair enough. Okay, let's move on and talk about vendor consolidations and shuffles. Martin and I have talked about this a little bit, but we didn't really get a chance to talk to you about this, Chris, to see what your opinion was. But we saw some vendors being bought up by others, the Tintri brand, you know, DDN getting in there. And I'm really interested to hear what you think is going to go on in that area.
I think DDN has done a remarkable job. It's suddenly become a unicorn valued company with Tintri and NextCenter and so forth. I don't know that there are many smaller players left to buy up.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of cloud native storage companies to buy up.
I don't think consolidation is going to happen there yet because so much development is going on. Possibly the cloud native consolidation will happen 2021, something like that, when the existing startups have polarized into ones that have got mileage in front of them and ones that are going to be struggling in the future. Does that make sense?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I'm still thinking whether I understand what you mean. I think, I don't know, I'm still on the fence as to whether it makes a lot of sense for these companies to consolidate other than maybe providing them a greater access to customers. And I certainly think that some of them seem to be completely contrasting businesses. Some are enterprise, some are totally not enterprise and more SMB. So even the consolidation of the sales force seems to me to make not a lot of sense. So I'm still not really sure where this is headed.
With DDN, do you mean?
With any of them, you know, with any of them.
Yeah, it's hard to see where the consolidation is going to come at the moment. I think it will consolidate. I think the cloud native stuff is still early. We will see some of the weaker companies get cold and drop off, and there'll be some normal Fire IP sales. I can't think of any off the top of my head. Then we might see some people starting coming together because some of them do have customer bases. And we shall see. And then eventually somebody's got to buy Scality. So HPE are eventually going to have to buy them.
And ditto probably Cloudian because it's a darn good company.
Yeah, HPE are in the are in the game for buying a lot of vendors, aren't they, at that point? Because they've got a lot of companies they use, and I'm not sure whether they really would want to take on all of them, but they've got a reasonable commitment to using a lot of technology. And if they get customers using all that stuff and those companies start to get a bit distressed, that, to me, looks like that's a bit of a challenge for them.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's an attempt to HP have obviously got this big partnership strategy going on. They've done this before. And I do wonder if it's a case for them to actually see, get a better idea of who's got some kind of traction and who hasn't.
Yeah, who's got them legs to be something more than they are at the moment with a bit of help.
I think there are three file system companies that look to be possible consolidation targets for some people. I'm thinking Cumulo, Panasus, and Weka.io. Mm-hmm. Weka.io from the extremely high performance point of view, Cumulo because it's an Isilon replacement, and for a company that doesn't have a good anti-Isilon strategy, hey, hello HPE, Cumulo must look a really attractive proposition, I think. And Panasus, because it's doing great things with its parallel access software, has a good base in the high-performance computing market, and looks to be something that another big company could perhaps use and grow with.
I think Weka's more possibly cloud acquisition. I think they would fit really well for super high-performance cloud requirements around ML AI. We're not there yet, I don't think, in terms of the need for that, but I think that might be their direction. I agree with you on the Cumulo one, though. I think that's possibly an HPE target.
I think Weka would actually make quite an attractive acquisition for Google. I think looking at them, they're not dissimilar in some of their attitudes. Cumulo to HPE, yep. The one which I don't see is Panasus, so that's one HPE will go and buy.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, there's no competition when you're bidding, is there? If nobody else wants them, nice and easy, you know? It's not going to be like the old three-par bidding or anything like that again. Nobody's going to be pushing your price up.
No.
Name your price. There you go. Job done. Yeah, interesting.
And who's Dell going to buy? Is Dell going to buy anybody? I think they might go acquisitive, but there's very few people. Are they going to buy another technology? Who knows? Dell could go and buy Cumulo just to get the Isilon engineering team back.
Yeah, could do that. That would save them a bit of time, wouldn't it? Yeah. No need to go and recruit again.
Yep, and will somebody eventually pick up Pure?
Ooh, there's a good question. Now, surely that's going to be Cisco, because Cisco hasn't bought a storage company for a good 2 years, maybe?
Well, Oracle haven't destroyed one for a few years either.
Yeah, that is true too.
Just remind me, where did Charlie Giancarlo come from?
You're going to have to remind us, because I can't remember.
Is there a Cisco piece in his background there?
We're all quickly, desperately Wikipedia-ing him, trying to find out where he's from. See if you can get there first.
I'll let you do that, Chris.
career, blah, 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 blah. He led Cisco's acquisition and technology alliance strategies. Wow. He was their first VP of corporate development.
There you go.
So maybe you're onto something there, Chris. Mm. Maybe you're onto something. Let's see what happens.
Well, neither Oracle or Cisco have done a big acquisition like that for some time, I seem to recall. I mean, Cisco have divested themselves of a few companies over the past couple of years out of their non-core. So maybe it's about time they started investing again into their core and looking at try and work out how they become more than just the network company, because that's what everybody still sees them as.
Absolutely they do. And they bought SpringPath, which I think bizarrely has been quite successful for them as an HCI company. And I don't mean from a technology perspective, because I think it was good technology. I mean, just generally that Cisco seemed to have made a success of it. And obviously they bought the complete failure, which was based in the East Coast.
Go on, Chris, Invicta, remind me. Which became Invicta.
Yeah, what was the name of the company? Was it?
I forget.
Not Whiptail.
Whiptail, that was it. Whiptail Technology.
Yep. Which didn't work out at all.
Or Whiptail, no technology.
Well, I think mainly because
Cisco
really
got
worked.
His ass whipped.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So maybe there is some room for things to happen. However, I'm going to move us on to the last topic of this particular podcast episode and 2020, and that's the whole data management area and data protection, because that has grown massively. We've seen multi-billion-dollar investments in that part of the industry. We've seen, let's everybody talk about them, Cohesity, Rubrik, Veeam, Actifio. We're seeing Clumio, Druva, you name it, there's a whole load of them. Is this market ripe for, or is it, let's rephrase that, is this market oversubscribed? Is it overcrowded? Are there too many players in this market?
It's like asking, I think, is the backup market overcrowded? And yes, it is, obviously, but we can't get away from it because backup is such a horrendously sticky application that once you've committed to one backup supplier, there you are, stuck forever, unable to move away. All the data management companies, the big ones, are beginning to see backup as their, as a prime source of data for them to manage. Actifio into backup, Cohesit is into backup, Rubrik's into backup, Druva's into backup, everybody's into backup as a source for their thing. And I can't see, me, myself, I can't see the consolidation happening because how would you, for argument's sake, combine Veeam and Cohesit technology? They're completely different software architectures. I just can't see it happening.
Okay, so Veeam, do you think they're making a profit? Do you think they're making money?
Ooh, I think so. I think they're making scads of money.
Do you think they're making a profit, though? Do you think Rubrik and Cohesit are? Do you think they're going to get to a position where, for sake of argument, they might run out of money?
Gut feel is Rubrik and Cohesit aren't making a profit. They're overspending to build up their businesses. Blitzscaling idea, isn't it?
Yeah, but didn't Actifio took money just recently, and they've been around for like 10 years or so, haven't they?
They did. They've re-energized themselves. They're going for it in a big way.
In fact, they've been around since 2009. So does that, you know, that makes me wonder. I don't know whether they're, I don't think they're public though, are they? So for them to take money is less of an issue than say some other vendors, but neither Cohesit nor Rubrik are public anyway. So, you know, are they going to think that IPO is worth it? Or are they going to go down the route of thinking acquisition is worth it? Is HPE going to have to put their hand in the pocket yet again and buy another storage company, this time in backup? You know, I'm just interested to see how this market plays because it just seems to be that some of the companies seem to be not, I hate to use the term stagnation because that's not true because I'm sure their businesses are growing brilliantly. But it just does seem that there's got to be at some point, there's got to be something happening because I can't believe that people like Dell and HP are going to continue to try and go along the way they are without having access to this market in some form.
I strongly agree with that sentiment. I think there's a difficulty in that data management is too vague a term. It covers too many bases. There's copy data management, there's data protection, there's archive, there's file analytics, there's various activities within data management, but there doesn't seem to be a simple definition of the main strands of data management that you can then tie particular companies to. So there, the offers of Rubrik and Cohesit and Actifio and Delphix overlap to quite a large degree. And so it would be difficult for somebody to try and consolidate those companies. Am I making sense here? I'm struggling to express what I'm trying to say here, but I'm confused about the data management market. And I'm not sure that other people aren't as confused as I am.
See, I think it's interesting. You listed all these companies, but you've left one out.
Go on.
Commvault.
Indeed.
And Commvault's been around for quite some time, and it's a company which a lot of people have talked about. I mean, see, Commvault was formed...
20 years ago?
Blimey.
99, maybe?
1988.
Oh, right. Wow.
It was formed as a development group in Bell Labs, and then it was sold off in 1996. So it's been around for an awful long time. And remember, they bought Hedvig last year. So what are they doing?
They're using all the data they protect, and they're going to feed that into data management as well.
Yeah.
The difference that's there is that perhaps Commvault, as a public company, already trading, potentially, I'm sure that they, I don't know how much money they make in terms of profit, but potentially they're profitable. So their issue is more growth and moving into new markets and keeping the business going than it is turning a profit, whereas some of the other vendors maybe haven't got to the profitable stage yet. So does that matter, to be fair? Pure isn't technically profitable, depending on which measurement you look at. So maybe that doesn't really matter. If you're very close to that point, maybe you don't care. But I just wonder whether we're going to see something happen in the next 12 months, whether it's acquisition or whether it's one of the companies getting a bit distressed. I don't know.
Commvault's just gone through almost a complete wholesale replacement of its senior sales management. They brought in Ricardo Di Blasio as chief revenue officer in May last year, and he's replaced America's sales, EMEA sales head, as Asia Pacific Japan sales head, there's a Hedvig sales head, and there's a channel sales head also being replaced. And I think I have a feeling that Commvault Commvault's CEO, Sanjay Mirchandani, has basically said, enough is enough. I'm going to fix this long-running sales execution problem Commvault has had for years and years and years. And here are these new people put in place, and they're going to darn well fix the sales execution problem, or they can take a hike.
So that's got to be one to watch then, hasn't it? You know, and see how the others play out equivalent to that.
I'd like to offer a thought about Veeam. It's been closely managed by the founders, but a new CTO has been appointed, which indicates that one of the founders is stepping back a little bit. And I just wonder whether there's something perhaps going to change in Veeam's status during the year, something significant. I don't know what it might be, but I just have a little hair curling effect at the back of my neck that something is happening with Veeam, and I'm not sure what it is.
Something in your water, or whatever the expression is.
That's it, yeah. Something in my water.
Yeah. Okay. Any last thoughts, Martin?
No, it's an interesting one, yeah, because the Veeam change is very, very recent. So with Danny Allen joining. So, yeah, we might see some changes.
Okay.
I think it's going to be interesting. I do think it's interesting. We're going to see more cloud-native storage. We're going to see market consolidation at some point. There's a lot still to play for in this market.
Yeah, definitely. I think if anything we can come out and say is that there's always something else happening, and I don't think we're going to be short of a conversation for the next 12 months.
No.
Perfect. Okay. Well, guys, thanks very much. Appreciate you both joining and being able to have a bit of a laugh and talk through some of the things we think are going to come up. If anybody's listening and they think they've got their opinions, of course, we'd be very happy to hear it. But until then, catch up with you next time.
Bye. Pleasure talking to both of you.
You've been listening to Storage Unpacked. For show notes and more, subscribe at storageunpacked.com. Follow us on Twitter at Storage Unpacked, or join our LinkedIn group by searching for Storage Unpacked Podcast. You can find us on all good podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks for listening.